This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala ashrafil mursaleen. Sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. My beloved brothers, in Islam, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Just before everyone gets up and leaves, that there's a prize for everyone in the masjid. Alright, so whoever wants to leave, just 5 minutes or 10 minutes of sabr, and there's a prize. I don't know what it is, or I know what it is, but you don't know what it is. Inshallah. Night 29, walhamdulillah. And just to make us feel confident that what we have done during this month of Ramadan, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hears and He accepts, we made that dua at the beginning of the month. Allahumma barik lana fi Rajab wa Sha'ban wa ballighna Ramadan. Did you not ask Allah, let me get to Ramadan, let me see Ramadan? You've seen it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answered a dua. Walhamdulillah, praise be to Allah. He's given us the ability to come to the last day of Ramadan. By all accounts, inshaAllah, most likely this is going to be the final night of Ramadan 2018. Last Taraweeh, last Qiyamul Layl, last 9 or so hours of this month in the night and in the last fast. And while, yes, alhamdulillah, it's been a tough month and it's never an easy thing, just consider that this could be your last Ramadan ever. How many of those that we saw, we can remember, Abu Ta Big Head, rahimullah, was with us last year, not here this year. We never can be sure that this will not be our final Ramadan. And as we said at the beginning of the month, that doors of Jannah are open. That bank vault is open. Those doors of Rahmah are open. But it's going to close. In less than 24 hours, it's going to close. So if you haven't yet gotten your treasure, if we haven't yet gotten ourselves saved from the fire of Jahannam, then we have just these last few hours. These last few hours. And I know the Eid spirit is already beginning. I'm already getting Eid Mubarak messages. I'm subhanAllah, it's well at advancement. SubhanAllah, it's too far. It's so early. The Maan Kaikar hasn't even gone to Sea Point yet, you know. So it's too early to be talking about Eid. Give Ramadan its true haqq. Put that effort in. And it's an odd night tonight. It is an odd night tonight. Just remember that it's an odd night tonight. What if it's Laylatul Qadr? What if it's Laylatul Qadr? Then you've not wasted 28 days, but you put all the effort in, and then in that, like it's the exam. And the last question of the exam is the one that counts for like 50% of the exam. And you say, you know what, I felt I've done enough, I'm going to leave it blank. Right? Don't do that, subhanAllah. So put all that effort that you can, you've got one more night, take it as if though it's your last night that you'll ever be with Ramadan. May Allah grant us the strength. May Allah accept all our du'as. May Allah grant all of us to leave this month, all our sins forgiven. May Allah bless us in what we have done of ibadat. May Allah have mercy on us. Allah is ash-shakur. At the end, when it comes to the end, I know I'm speaking over the topic, but when it comes to the end, like the Prophet said, when you get to the end of your life, when you come to the end of something, yes, we are in the balance between fear of Allah's punishment and hope for His mercy, but ultimately that hope must win. And Allah says, I am as my slaves think of me. That if you think of Allah in terms of mercy and kindness, and that I've done so much, ya Allah, I've done a little bit, but you're going to accept it, ya Allah. That you said, whoever stands this month with Iman, or fast this month with Iman, all our sins will be forgiven. May Allah grant that all our sins are forgiven. We start a new life when that takbir of Eid begins, like we come from Hajj, Arafah, no sins. Ameen. Alhamdulillah, we also came to the end of Surah Al-Kahf a day or two ago. And we're discussing, recapping all the themes. SubhanAllah, a surah which is, you know, a few pages long. How many things come up in the surah? How many things have been discussed? And how relevant it is it in our life? We said that of the themes, number one is that this life is a test. This life is a test. We are only here for a period of time. Allah is going to judge our deeds so that we can be rewarded in the Akhirah. Take this life simply as a test. Whatever it's thrown at you, take it in your mind, whether it's good or bad. This is a test Allah is challenging me with. How am I going to respond? My Akhirah is where I'm going to be. We said to pass this test, the number one thing that Allah says is ikrah. That's the number one asset that will save you in this dunya. How much do we find, subhanAllah, that this ummah, in this month of Ramadan, this month was actually very bad in terms of how much bickering has gone on amongst people of knowledge. How much, if you know what I'm talking about, unfortunately, if you don't know, alhamdulillah, better that you don't know. But bickering between scholars, bickering between ulama, organizations throwing insults. This, subhanAllah, when people of knowledge do this, then it's very, very sad. So may Allah protect us in the knowledge that we have. Let's follow the example of Musa alayhi salam, that, you know, you humble yourself to knowledge. We don't speak, we have sabr and we have patience. And that knowledge should be used not to make us harm each other, but it should should be to bring us closer. Remember, as we said yesterday, Iblis is the most learned of all of us. Of all the scholars, of even Iblis knows better. Yet his knowledge was the reason. Remember the surah, your blessings can curse you. His knowledge actually cursed him. His high position cursed him. So may Allah protect us. Learn and be humble. As the ulama mentioned, knowledge is like that tree, that as it bears more fruits, what happens to the branches? It begins to sag. It begins to, the heavier the fruits are, the more you learn, the more humble you become. Like Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. We spoke about youth and the power of youth, and we just mentioned it already. We can see, and this is going to happen all the time. It's the sunnah of Allah. Even here in Cape Town, even here for 250 plus years, we could never have an idgah. I'm sure there were many scholars, many committee members that sat together and tried for this thing. But once the youth started burning tires, alhamdulillah, it happened. Right? I think for Jumu'ah we need to start burning tires, because that seems to get the message across. But the power of the youth, the power of a group of young people, when they speak up, it's much louder than any alim or any sheikh. Wallahi it is. So Allah is reaffirming that the power and the strength of the ummah lies in its young people. And that energy, that's why shaitan focuses so much on our young people. He doesn't mind old people. That's why the old people, alhamdulillah, he spares them. You can now, towards the end of your life, come right, but if he can corrupt our young people, then that destroys our future. So this shows you, this surah began, told us so many examples in the surah about the strength and the power of young people if it's used and channeled correctly. So may Allah guide and protect our youth. We spoke about surrounding yourself with good company. Allah says this to the Prophet ﷺ, and throughout the surah it is mentioned that your good company, you will be together as your company, as you are together in the dunya, you will be wherever you are in the akhirah. So the beautiful thing, as one of the rewards of Jannah, one of the rewards of Jannah is how people will get together in Jannah and they will talk about their days in the dunya. What a wonderful experience that must be, to sit with each other in Jannah and laugh about the dunya and say, you know, we thought about so many silly things. We thought that Jannah wasn't big enough for this group and that group. And look at all of us, we all here, alhamdulillah. We were, subhanAllah, the dunya was like 5 minutes. We were worried about such silly things, but alhamdulillah, we made it, we in Jannah. May we sit like that, may we be like this in Jannah soon, ameen. Of the themes, and we get to tonight's themes, the test of wealth. And perhaps this is the one that hits the most home to all of us. The test of wealth. We saw a man in the surah. Allah mentions his blessings. That he had, in our terms, he had factories and properties and buildings and investments. And they just gave him dividend and return after return. We would have thought, wow, mashallah, let me be like him. But his wealth corrupted him so much that he actually didn't only fall into ungratefulness. He actually fell into shirk. His wealth became a partner with Allah. His wealth made him almost made him of the biggest losers, had Allah not saved him towards the end. So wealth can even cause you not to fall into shirk and arrogance. And so we're giving out the prizes here. It's a scarf, right? And so we are from the Burhan al-Islam, and we say Jazakallah khair to those who contributed, and you know, may Allah bless whoever, you know, for those who put together this prize. So it's for every a gift from the masjid. Getting back to our tafsir, wealth is a test. Wealth is a test. When you look at your bank account, when you get your paycheck every month, understand, I should understand, you should understand, this is a test from Allah. He gave it to some, and he didn't give it to others. لِنَبْلُوَكُمْ, to test you. What are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with that wealth that he has given you? And too much of it can make you a loser in this life. And if you cling to it, Allah will put a disease in the heart. Those who are given wealth, and they don't part with it in a good way, Allah makes them poor in their heart. That the more they have, the more they want, and they can't separate themselves from it. They become enslaved by their wealth. May Allah protect us from this. And He gives them misery in the dunya, and obviously in the akhirah it's even worse. But we see, and in this month of all months we know, we all, alhamdulillah, try to be more generous. How do we feel when we share what we have? How do we feel? We feel richer once we give, once we share. This is the barakah and the blessing that Allah puts in the heart. This is what Allah is saying. All you have is on loan. Ultimately, I'm going to take it back from you. Ultimately, you're going to the qabr and you're going to lose it anyway. So part with it in a good way. Part with it in a good way. And we know, as Allah says in the Quran, مَنْ ذَا الَّذِي يُكْرِدُ اللَّهَ كَرْضًا حَسَنًا. Who will give Allah a loan? Meaning, Allah is going to take your wealth in sadaqah only on loan, because what he's going to invest it and give it back to you in return with much more dividends. So wealth is a test. The one who has it, you're being tested with it. The one who doesn't have it, you're being tested with your poverty. And how we respond, subhanAllah, this will be, you know, one of the questions, one of the specific questions on Qiyamah is what we did with our wealth. So save ourselves with your wealth. Buy your Jannah through your wealth. The Sahaba, we said, they complained about the rich ones. Why? Because they had wealth and they were able to purchase their Jannah. And alhamdulillah, you know, wealth, we said, is a blessing if it's used correctly. People who have built these masajid, I think how they are in their qabr. 150 years of Taraweeh. They only saw 50 Ramadans. But 150 years of Ramadans was witnessed in this masjid. And they are receiving that dividend in their qabr. Right? So if you have wealth, invest it. Allah did not tell the man with two gardens, give up all your gardens. No. All he had to do was give shukr. If you give shukr, alhamdulillah, that's good. And then you give its haq in terms of zakah. But if you want to go over and above, then use your wealth to invest in your akhirah. Use it to build up that portfolio in the akhirah. Give in charity something which will grant you success, will buy you your jannah. That's what the opportunity is for us, right? So our objective in the dunya is we don't shun the dunya. We don't shun wealth. Wealth isn't something we should run away from. We must work hard for it. And wallahi, without our business people and the good, generous people, we wouldn't have masajid. We wouldn't have, you know, radio stations and madrasas and hijab schools. We need our business people. And we want Allah to bless you even more in that. Those of you who have businesses, who are charitable, may Allah increase you 10 times over so that you may give to the community 10 times over. And that Allah can reward you hundreds and millions of times over. So, as we say, for us as Muslims, we want the whole dunya in our hands, but none of it must enter our hearts. Only Allah must be in our hearts. Then we spoke about leadership and what a big problem we have in our community in terms of leadership. We saw what a good leader looks like in terms of in Dhul Qarnayn. We saw what a real leader, a man that works for the benefit of others. A leader means he's the first one. When there's fitna, he's the guy that stands. When there's Ya'juj and Ma'juj, he's the guy that stands right in front, not at the back. And since the rest of you in front, I'm right at the end, that's not a leader. He's the imam. He stands in front. He faces the fitna right up there. And we said that the big problem in our ummah, one of the problems, is we lack leadership. But we should never ever feel that I am not good enough to be a leader. What we don't need superheroes. We need everyone to give 1% of their time, 1% of their efforts. Join something, we said. Join something and be part of something bigger than yourself. Be part of some organization. Be part of some masjid. Doesn't matter what it is, but something of good. That's what this ummah needs. That's what this ummah is lacking. Interestingly, in the surah, there were three different types of kings. I don't know if you remember. There were three kings mentioned. Let's see, which king can you remember? Dhul-Qarnayn is one of them. That's a good one. There was a king who stole the ships. It's a bad king. You know, and how many kings, how many rulers, they steal from their subjects. And then there was a king who was even worse than that, who wanted to kill the people of the cave. They had to run away. Meaning, unfortunately, the bulk of leadership, and this is perhaps the sunnah, most of the rulers, most of the people on leadership, it corrupts them. It's one of those challenges that unfortunately it destroys those in leadership. But it's not an excuse for us to turn away. It's not an excuse for us to say, I don't want to be part of the system. You have to be part. We, and I make this relevant here. I don't want to be political. But alhamdulillah, we have a good relationship, our community, with our government. And it should stay that way. We shouldn't pull ourselves away from government. We shouldn't say, you know what, this whole system is corrupt. I don't want to be part of it. No, we have a great blessing. What place on earth does a Muslim minority have its president, I said, made sujood? Nowhere else on earth. We shouldn't allow this to be lost. Be part of the system. Be proactive. Then we had... In the surah, we learned about two pillars of Iman. We learned about Qiyamah and the 10 signs of Qiyamah. Dajjal, Nabi Isa, Ya'juj and Ma'juj, the three landslides, the beast of the earth, the smoke that will come, that will take the souls of all the believers, the sun that will rise from the west, and the fire that will gather everybody to the place of Qiyamah. Well, that's the end of the world. Then we said that the trumpet will be blown and the day of judgment will come. And in the surah, Allah made glimpses of the day of judgment. How people will come to Allah expecting good deeds, but their scales will be zero. Have absolutely nothing. Why? Because they worshipped Allah like they wanted. They decided what was right and wrong. They were sincere. They wanted to do good, but they didn't base it on knowledge. It's like that person who, you know, he answers an essay. Beautifully written, but he didn't answer the question. He didn't read the question. He wrote what he felt like writing. Allah says there are people going to be like that. They spend their life in this dunya thinking they're doing good, but they did it without knowledge, so they were lost. And then there are people, Allah says, وَالْبَاقِيَاتُ الصَّالِحَاتِ. At the end of the day, everything disappears, but your good deeds will last eternally. Everything on this dunya has an expiration date. Even you have an expiration date. But the tahajjud that you've made, the dua that you made, those sujoods that you made will last forever and ever and ever. Al-baqiyatu salihat. The things that will last eternally are the good deeds, because they go straight to Allah. And Allah keeps it there for us, hoping to reward us on the day of Qiyamah. So prepare our baqiyatu salihat. May Allah grant that whatever good deeds we do, as small as it is, may Allah multiply it with Him out of His generosity and His kindness. We mention a bit of Jannah and Jahannam. Jannah and Jahannam are real. And there are only two destinations. It is for us. So we've got 9 hours left. Are we comfortable that we save from Jahannam? Are we comfortable that our place in Jannah al-Firdaus is ready? Believe that you can get the highest Jannah of all. Believe that. As I said, what we have done in this month of Ramadan, even the pious awliya, they don't do this. They don't fast 30 days. You won't find someone fasting 30 days and spending like the whole night almost in ibadah. Even the most pious of pious people don't do that. Yet Allah has shown you of the barakah of Ramadan that you can even operate on that high level. That you have it within you. That Jannat al-Firdaus is accessible to every single one of us. But as I said, we've got 9 hours left of this month to do as much as we can, to gather as much as we can. Then we also learned about the pillar of destiny, Qadr, which is the most complicated pillar of Iman. That we said we have free will, we have to put in effort, but ultimately Allah is in control of everything. So take it like this. You recite the surah every week, you'll be reminded of this pillar. One week you might have things that are going well. Remind yourself of the man of the gardens. This is a test. It's not me. It's not because I'm great or I'm special. Allah is testing you with this, and give shukr and praise to Allah. And some weeks you're going to go through hardship. Maybe business isn't going so well. Maybe you're ill. Maybe things didn't go your way. Think about the people and their boat. That calamity that Khidr put in the boat, save them from a bigger calamity. That think, oh Allah, this calamity you've given me is actually a blessing in disguise. And we make shukr to Allah. Every time you recite the surah, you'll be in a different frame of mind each week. But remember and reflect on it. That this is simply the qadr of Allah. And we are ultimately subject to it. So we submit to Allah's qadr. And we obey and we give shukr in every situation. That is the believer. As the Prophet says, even when our souls are being pulled, we say, alhamdulillah, we praise Allah. We don't say anything against Allah. Because we submit and we believe whatever Allah does to us, for us, it is the best for us. And we put our trust in Him. There was an element towards the end of the surah. And it's a very subtle element in here. Many people call the surah, the surah of the awliya. The surah of the awliya. You said there are many people that, for example, will say Dhulqarnain was not a Nabi, he was a Wali. Many believe that Khidr wasn't a Nabi, he was a Wali of Allah. The people of the cave were not Anbiya, they were Awliya of Allah. So you find pious people, and from them miracles happen, right? The people of the cave lived for 300 years. Dhulqarnain had miracles. He traveled and he could fight Ya'juj and Ma'juj. Khidr had a special kind of knowledge. Yes, they are awliya. And yes, they are special people. And yes, some of them even have karama. But Allah says, they are our slaves. Don't exaggerate in them. Don't elevate some of them to divinity. وَيُنذِرَ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا اتَّخَذَ اللَّهُ وَلَدًا. And I warn those who have made a Nabi, Nabi Isa, into a god, made me a son. Look at what Allah says about Khidr. When Nabi Musa finds Khidr, Allah... Now, how great is Khidr? Musa, just put this in your mind. Musa alayhi salam, he speaks to Allah directly. And Allah says, there's a man that you must go and you must study under him. So how great is Khidr, right? When Musa alayhi salam meets Khidr, Allah says, this is an abd min ibadina. He's a slave of one of my slaves. Nothing special. He's just one of my many, many slaves. That's who Khidr is. Dhulqarnain is a slave from one of my slaves. Don't exaggerate. Even at the end, the Prophet says, Allah says to the Prophet, say innama ana bashar mithlukum. I am a human being like you. I'm not made of light. This is an incorrect misconception. Prophet says, I'm not made of light. That I eat, I drink. The only thing that Allah has given, that Allah has favored the Prophet with is with nubuwa. That he's a Nabi. Why to say? Ilahukum ilahum wahid. To deliver a message. La ilaha illallah. That we worship Allah alone. Don't exaggerate the awliya. So Allah says, do you think you can take my slaves as protectors other than me? This is one of the reasons why many people go astray. So watch in terms of exaggeration of personalities. Don't build people up too much. The surah, and we're in the last two points here, it's about a response to fitna. We're going to be faced with a lot of fitna in our life. Different kinds of fitna. We said even blessings are fitna. Even calamities are fitna. Everything is a fitna. Nothing, everything is a test. Good and bad. So how do we live our life through this? In here, Allah had given us a number of points. Acquire knowledge. Whenever you come, so we take a fitna like, subhanAllah, let's be relevant. Shiism is an issue in our community, right? People are talking about it. You want to put, either you avoid the issue completely, or you educate yourself and you learn. First step is to acquire knowledge. Learn before you speak. Then surround yourself with people that are on guidance, that remind you. People that do good. Keep good company. Use your wealth for good. Allah is giving us methodology, steps, how we face fitna. Some challenges Allah says is too big for you. You won't be able to fight them. You can't, if you have some kind of weakness, you have a weakness for, I don't know, donuts. When you're fasting, don't go walk into Dunkin' Donuts. Don't do that. Run away to the cave. Run away to the cave. So Allah is giving us methodologies. How do we face fitan? How do we face it? And if all of us do this, it's transformational in our society. There are four groups of people Allah specifically mentioned in here. The youth, the wealthy people, the man of the gardens, the ulama, Nabi Musa and Khidr, and the leadership. Now, our wealthy people, our young people, our ulama and our leaders, if shaitan is able to corrupt them, he's able to corrupt our entire society. But if all of them work together on goodness, they use their talents together, if the wealthy man uses wealth to help the ummah, and the leaders use their leadership correctly, and the ulama can guide our ummah, and our young people are on guidance, then our ummah will move forward. Can you see, subhanAllah? This is, as we said, it is about the coming of Dajjal. And Dajjal will corrupt things step by step. Different groups, different people. So this method, this is a transformational surah, a blueprint of how we can protect our community from fitna. The last thing we said, ultimately the surah begins and it ends, that the ultimate success lies with the Quran. We said this before, which month was the Quran revealed in? Ramadan. And which month is the best month? Ramadan. Which night was the Quran revealed on? Laylatul Qadr. And which night is the greatest night? Laylatul Qadr. Which angel brings the Quran down? And who is the greatest angel? Which man received the Quran? Sallam. And who is the best of the Anbiya? Muhammad Sallam. Nothing is attached to the Quran except it's the best. No home that recites Quran except that's the best home. Even in the hadith, the Prophet says, Khayrukum, the best of you is the one who learns the Quran and teaches the Quran. Allah began the surah by speaking about the Quran and He ended the surah about the virtues of the Quran. That this is the Quran, so long as we stick to it and the guidance in it throughout our life, it will keep us safe from fitna. We said the Quran is our cave. The Quran is our refuge. In times of fitna, turn to the Quran. Turn to its guidance, stick to it, and that will be the ultimate thing. And that is the ultimate theme of the whole Quran is, فَمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُو لِقَاءَ رَبِّي. And for those of you who want to meet Allah, فَلْيَعْمَلْ أَمَلًا صَالِحًا. Then do good deeds according to the Quran, according to the Sunnah. وَلَا يُشْرِكْ بِعِبَادَةِ رَبِّي أَحَدًا. And do not commit shirk. And this is the ultimate success. May Allah grant us to live and die upon this. May Allah grant that the Quran remains with us after the month of Ramadan. I hope that the surah has touched your hearts, that you've learned something. I must say that when we decided to do the surah, I was a bit hesitant because it's a deep surah. And I know after fasting and in Taraweeh, your brains are operating at 5%. You know, I'm operating at like 3%. So to teach this and learn this, but I hope, alhamdulillah, that there was benefit, that and it's something that is relevant. We don't only learn this for the sake of learning, but it's something we can implement in our life. I hope that we have an appreciation for tafsir and how deep the words of Allah are, and that you continue to recite the surah every week. I mean, may Allah accept from us, may Allah bless us. We have to do our quiz quickly. We said, we're going to do it. Prize giving. But okay, the answers that they wanted. Okay, so yesterday's question, what two animals are mentioned in the surah? A fish and a dog, right? The fish and a dog. And which two? A fish. Yeah, a fish is an animal. Okay. A snook. I think so. A snook and a dog. Okay. All right. And then tonight's question, but okay, the answers are probably there. Do you remember which two Anbiya are mentioned by name in the surah? Nabi Musa, yes, and? He's not mentioned by name. Nabi Adam, actually. وَاذْكُرْنَا لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ اسْجُدُوا لِآدَمَ. Right? Nabi Adam is mentioned by name in the surah. Right? That was a test. That was a... All right, so we've got four prizes.
Two girls, two ladies.
Okay. Okay. Ilham Khalfan.
Ilham Khalfan.
Shia? Yeah. Alhamdulillah. Okay, so there's one prize there. this one. Waheem, patience. We are impatient, sorry. She's here as well. Oh, mashallah. Okay, that was. But Khalfan and patience. Okay, we went on those questions. Right, alhamdulillah. So, mom and daughter, prize. So, there are two boys, two guys. Aqib Simons. Aqib. Oh, he's there as well. That's nice. Good. Alhamdulillah. And Shamil Arifdin. Shamil not is here. MashaAllah, Shamil Arifdin is here. And then a special prize for this one. Okay. All right. Well, not yet a special prize. Okay. Then now to our Bilals. Buta Talib, are you going to? Okay. Alhamdulillah, part of, we know the vibe and the feel of the masjid is our Bilals. And they come every night. And they provide sometimes some humor. Sometimes they finish the Tarawih before time. And alhamdulillah, it's just to... Yeah, alhamdulillah. That's, but it's part of the experience. And we say jazakallah khair to them. Of course, they do this out of the kindness of their heart. And we ask Allah to bless them and their families. And we say we appreciate being part of the program. I know, like, for example, Rushdi is here very, very early, just to be here in time for the Isha'i Adhan. Most nights he gives the Isha'i Adhan, so subhanAllah, you know, making that effort to be here almost every night. And jazakAllah, and all to all our Bilals. So we're handing out. We start with Buta Khamim, the leader of the Bilals. Buta Fuad Peters, Buta Riyad Peters, Shaheem Davids, Ibrahim Abrams, Shaukat Ahmed Adnan, Fandi Yedin, Yusri Doti, Abdulaziz White and Rushdi Arifdin. Jazakallah khair. May Allah bless you. Jazakallah khair. We will give also our khuffaz, but that's this evening, Nakh Salah. They will participate in the Qiyamul Layl, but they will get their prizes, inshallah. They still have one more slot to do before they can get their prize. And then from my side, just to say Jazakallah khair to all of you for being part of this masjid. For what keeps it alive, obviously, are the musallis, those who attend. There's a lot of work that happens behind the scenes to put the slides together. Ubaid and Buta Muaymin, Nuhal in terms of the website. The iftar, I must say this, those of you who have not been here for iftar, if you can, I know tomorrow Eid's on your mind, but if you can, make a visit here. This is going to be the last iftar. It's a very unique iftar that happens in this masjid. I won't mention names, but it's a lovely experience because majority of, well, okay, Wasim is a guest. Wasim, I'm putting you on the spot, he's a guest. Right? He just moved from Rylands to the Book Up. And when he saw the iftar here, he comes here almost every night. Why? Because the feel that we have here, we've got lots of foreigners, mostly it's foreigners. There's not, most of the people are foreigners. Students studying, people working, refugees, and of course the old Buddhas who lost their wives, Allah grant them Jannah. So the youngsters and the oldsters going on. It's a very lovely experience. If you please, if you have an opportunity tomorrow, come and experience the iftar. It's a lovely experience here. So jazakallah khair to them. The soup kitchen that was going on throughout the month, we have to say jazakallah khair to the team, the staff that does that, the nursery school. So much is happening. Ah, this is free dates. bunch of brothers, youngsters, these are part of our iftar crew. Before they have iftar in the night, they go for that last hour from 5 o'clock or so when people are stuck in traffic. They hand out dates. And most of the people who take the dates being non-Muslim, so they attach to it a little pamphlet about da'wah, what the Prophet ﷺ sayings about some hadith, 10 hadith about the Prophet ﷺ, and lots of people found, you know, lots of blessings. A lady, she came twice and she said, you know, this sayings of your Prophet, I've put it on my fridge. It's amazing. So alhamdulillah, may Allah accept from them, taking of their time when we're all very hungry to do that. So we say jazakallah khair. And to all of you who've contributed, who helped to fix the roof, alhamdulillah, within a few days, we got that donations. So we say jazakallah khair to all of you. From my side, shukran so much. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.